The title of this message is actually the purpose of Christ's gifts to the church, part five, because we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, and we've been laboring in verses 11 through now 16 and 17, where Paul started out and said that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, so forth and so on. And we've been going through all of that. And this is part of it, the last part of it, if you will, of what Christ did for the church. Now, remember, I'm on this. This is the area of my life where God is really dealing with me right now. And this almost like seasons when God speaks a word to me and it's a word for me. It eventually becomes a word for you, but it's a word for me first. And then he takes me through the word, and I see it everywhere. And that word is God first, God first, God first. Because obviously in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning was the word, John 1:1, Genesis 1:1. And so even here, the purpose of Christ's gifts to the church, we see Christ doing something first, and then next week we're going to go into what Paul says then should be our response to what God has done. So it's always God first. It's always God first. When anyone meets God, God has met with them first. Hello, let me say that again. When anyone meets God, God met with them first. So remember when Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? Peter said, they said whatever. And then Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what Jesus said. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God did something first. God revealed who he was. And then Peter was able to declare who Christ was. So it's always God first. So here we're coming to the tail end of this, this particular two verses that we've been in, the tail end of 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So let me deal with first this, the latter part of verse 15 that says, who is the head? We are growing up. We are to grow up in all things into him who is the head, who is Christ. Now, this word head, a dictionary, if you were to look it up, it means the seat of the intellect, means one in charge of a division or a department in an office or an institution. We're all very familiar with that. The leading element of a military column or a procession. And also the place of leadership, honor, or command. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says this, but I want you to know, Paul speaking, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man. I only heard one woman say that. Let me back up over that. Let me redo this, okay? But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, thank you. And the head of Christ is God. Okay? So Paul, speaking on authority and speaking on headship in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. The head of Christ is God. Everyone has a head. Thank you. I'm going to say it again. I said, everyone has a head. Check yourself, just to make sure I'm telling the truth. Check yourself, make sure you have a head, okay? Because if you don't, if you are a body without a head, we call that a monster. All right, just want you to make sure we're all on the same page. Everybody has a head. Now, here we go. Now, then, so follow me with this. Follow me with this line of thinking. If Christ is the head of the man, then what does that make the man? Makes him the body. Okay? Right? If Christ is the head, then we don't see any heads walking around without bodies either. We call those monsters too. Because why? Because a head and a body go together. Right? That's why I said everyone has a head. Man, though, is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ. Now, follow me now. If the man is the head of the woman, what does that make the woman? The body. The body. And so we see out of Eve, where does the body come from? It comes out of the woman. The woman. The woman is the one, she brings forth every body. Okay? So the woman is the body of the man. Okay? And so that's why the man and the woman go together. And not only do they go together, but they're supposed to stay together. Okay? Amen. Can I get some amen? I know this is the 21st century, y'all. And I know we got another generation coming up, but we need to stay true to the scripture. Come on. That the head needs to stay. Listen. You don't see, although I saw something on Facebook the other day where someone had switched Hillary's face to Trump's face. That was the scariest thing I ever seen. But heads don't change bodies, okay? And so Christ will never leave. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So the woman is the body of the man. Like I said, the head is never to be separated from the body. When the head and body separate, neither of them remain alive. All right? Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be getting into this in about a month or so. Ephesians chapter 5, 28 says, so husbands ought to love their wives, their own wives, as their own bodies. Paul is saying here that the wife, if the man is the head, the wife is the body. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Oh, we're going to have fun when we get to Ephesians chapter 5. Yes, yes. So, keep following me now. If God is the head of Christ, and you see this is very plain, what does that make Christ? God's body. So, isn't it interesting that the Word became flesh? God is the head of Christ. Christ is God's body. And I'm not just making a figurative connection here. I'm making a literal connection because Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ was represented. Listen, there was nothing of God lacking in Christ when he walked this earth. Nothing. All of it was represented in him. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Ephesians 1:22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Listen, beloved, when it comes time for the church, and we have this happen all the time with different denominations who they will have a yearly, but they'll have these meetings and they determine doctrine for the denomination. And they go to the people in the headship of the church to determine what the doctrine will be. So, only because it's big and we all know about it. So when these churches decide that homosexual clergy or marriages or so forth is going to be allowed in the church, they go to the head. They don't go to the head. They go to the head of the denomination and determine how things are going to be made or be done. When Ephesians 1:22 says that God hath put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Over all things. So as I said last week in alluding to my sermon, the head of the church is not in Fairfax. But the board, you know, the council, the government center here. The head of the church is not in Richmond, where our state government resides. The head of the church is not in Washington, D.C., and the head of the church is not in New York City, New York. The head of the church is in heaven. He sits high above everything that's transpiring here. And he has all power and authority in heaven and in earth. Ephesians 1:21 says, or 1:20, that God raised Christ from the dead by the power he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And so that's where Christ is, seated in heavenly places next to the Father. Ephesians 5:23 goes on and says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So Paul is speaking both of the husband and of Christ. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And he speaks specifically here of Christ. He says, and he is savior of the body, but the same is true in the natural. So husbands, when you go somewhere and someone is going to endanger your wife, you are the savior of your body, which means you lay down your life in order to save and protect your wife. Right? All right. So, wife, there is great safety in Christ, who is the head of your husband. That's why when anything happens, man, oh, my goodness. I was going to preach a message one time years ago about women if you only knew. I was going to preach that message, man. We're going to tell them, if you only knew where Christ has you positioned, you would, when anything happened, you run behind your husband. You run, and you say, get him, honey. And the reason why you would do that is because you run behind your head, recognizing and realizing that your head gonna run behind his head. Ah, y'all ain't hearing me? Ah, yes. Oh, what you talking about? Lord, help me, Jesus. Come on, you know, no. But I mean, when you understand headship, when you understand authority, then you'll run behind it. You won't be up in the face of, baby, get out the way. I got this. Look, you better run behind him. Get behind him and let him do what God's called him to do. All right, I'm getting a lot of amens from over in this corner. This Colossians 1:18. We're still on the head, but we're going to get through this. We're going to get through. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So everything here that is in the head is flowing to the body. Everything that is here represented in the head is flowing to the body. Nothing can happen to the body unless the head allows it. Now, that's both true and yet not realized as we would have it. Is that right? That nothing happens in the body unless the head allows it. We know spiritually that is not the case in the church, because there's a lot going on in the body that the head does not agree with, which is why Revelation chapter 1 through 3 is there when he rebukes his own church. He rebukes his own body. The body does nothing that the head does not want it to do. As goes the head, so goes the body. So this would have had much more relevance last week when I was prepared to give it. So when Ryan Lochte was, you know, when they got pulled over or stopped by the security, Ryan Lochte's mouth, which is part of his body, even though it's part of the head, His body went off saying something that apparently his head didn't agree with, because he said what he said was, you know, we got, you know, these robbers, man, robbers, they pulled us over, and the whole world is believing what he said. But apparently his head didn't agree with what his mouth said. So now he's in a lot of trouble. And so God help us that the church, the body, would always be in agreement with the head. Hello. Help us, Father. Amen. So now I'm going to get back down to Ephesians chapter 16 and 17. Or excuse me, 16 and 17. 16 says this: from whom the whole body, speaking of the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Man, I love this. See, because this is what God is doing. This is, when I was praying this morning, I was thinking about this. This, beloved, this is what God is doing. This is the greatest thing that's happening in the earth today is largely unseen and unnoticed, and it's not talked about. Why? Because it's spiritual. Okay? It's spiritual. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, God, who created the physical body, also created the spiritual body. Huh? God, who created the physical body, and I thought to myself, wouldn't you love to have been able to create your body? I thought to myself, don't even go there. Do you know how vain we would be? Oh, my. I thought, God, you are good. You are good. Because he created us with built-in humility factors. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little crazy, but I think these ways, thoughts come to me, and I'll be like, Lord. He says, that's right. I created you, because the thought crossed my mind, and I thought, where did that thought come from? Wouldn't you love to be able to choose or create your own body? And then it was as if the Holy Spirit said, no, I created you the way I did for a reason. Job said, humble every man on earth if you're God. Only God can do that. Sometimes the way he creates us, we look in the mirror and we immediately get humble. Oh, maybe you don't, but I do. Okay. Let me go on. Okay. So first the natural is created, then the spiritual. So what follows then is, if you can understand the natural body, then you can understand the spiritual body. Paul says here in Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Listen, there is no body if there is no joining. Think about it. There is no body if there is no joining. I heard a Okay, let me make it a little bit more. Can I make it plain? So if your hand is over there and your arm is over there and your leg is over there, you may have pieces of a body, but until they're joined, you don't have a body. And all of us, we love our body. Amen. It may not be the most perfect thing on the earth, but I'll tell you what, I love this thing. I don't know, how about you? Glory. I don't love the way it looks all the time, but I love being in it. Glory to God. I love, and you want to treat the body well. You want to take care of this body. You want this body to feel good. You want this body to be energetic. Come on, you want this body to last. But there is no body if there's no joining. Watch this. When a member of the body is cut off from the body, there is great pain involved. Hello, I heard an old boy. Let me say that again. When a member of the body is cut off from the body, there is great pain involved. Now take that into the spirit and think about what happens when people get mad and get attitudes and all kinds of craziness, and they just... It's the last time, you'll never see me here, and all this, and it's like, oh, that's so unnecessary. That's so unnecessary. Okay, from whom the whole body, the scripture says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Now, the head, I have written here, the entire body is sustained by the head. Okay? Now, it says here, from whom the whole body is knit, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Here's what's interesting about the body. And God made it this way. Isn't God beautiful? Isn't he awesome? Because listen. If I'm the toe, I'm connected to the head, but by virtue of all the other members of the body. And so listen, so if I'm not joined to all the other members, I'm going to have problems being joined to the head. So God made it such that every member needs every other member to be joined to the head. Because if he didn't, we have people like this walking off into the woods, never associate with anybody. God spoke to me. I am his neck. And you need to listen to me. I don't need you. I have the head. Oh, no. No, see, God didn't make it that way. We call those monsters, too, when we see those. That's a monster, see? Because, and Jim Jones, you all know, Jim Jones started off a Pentecostal preacher. He was a fire. The other man was a preacher. But he got off in his doctrine. And he got off and separated. And can't nobody tell you anything. And so now all the people following you, when you start preaching this way out crazy doctrine and you put cyanide in the Kool-Aid and kill everybody, now we know you's a monster, see, because you left the head and the body. So you got this hand crawling around over here, which everyone running from. Whenever you see that, run! Whenever you see a member of the body all by itself, a foot going down the hallway, when you see that, run! Don't hang around. Don't talk to the foot. Don't see where it's going. Just go the other way. Just run. Because that's not how the body, how God made things. Okay? As each member is loved and sustained by Christ, the head, so this love is shared from member to member, causing one another to grow thereby. Okay? So that's what we have here in this passage of scripture. As he's continuing in on but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him who is the head in all things, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and fit together by what every joint supplies. And so the love of Christ and the sustenance of Christ is realized in every member through Christ. So not only does God love and care for each one of us, but watch this. 1 John 3:17 says this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Hello? So remember what I just said, Christ loves and sustains each member of the body. Well, if that's true, then Christ who is in us is going to cause us to love and sustain those who are in him. That's why John was able to write, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? So, Ephesians 4:2 says, but in all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. In love. So if I offend you and you respond to me in the love of Christ by speaking the truth in love, you grow and I grow in the love and in the knowledge of God. Right? Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So I'm bound to forgive you no matter what you have done to me because Christ has forgiven me. So then if you respond to me in the way of the flesh or the world, the offense is not settled. Our growth is stunted and Christ is not glorified. But if we respond in love to one another, then the Christ is glorified, the love of God is shared between us, and we all grow. So this is what Paul is speaking to when he says that we are knit together by what every joint supplies. Now listen, you're a joint. I'm a joint. I'm a member. He said every joint has a supply. Every one of us has something to give. Okay? Every one of us. And I'm not talking about, you know, my part is not mainly here. I'm joined. Listen, you ever heard, well, I've heard of, I'm studying these presidents. I'm on this thing, and I've heard, I'm going to just use presidents for example, but the same thing happens with pastors. Was I was listening to this guy talk about the Secret Service. He talked to four Secret Service agents, and they were all talking about presidents. And they said, I'm not going to talk about a living president. They said some things about what a living president. I'm not going to go. I'm going to go with Ronald Reagan. They said, which was the most genuine president? They said, Ronald Reagan, when you saw him standing and addressing the joint houses of Congress or wherever, or was when he told the, what's his name, to tear down his wall, Gorbachev, it said he was the real article. The way he was in the White House was the way he was at home. In private, he was the same way. People would write saying, Mr. President, we don't. My daughter needs a procedure done. He would get out his checkbook, write out checks up to $5,000. He would send Air Force One to go pick people up and take them to their doctor's appointment when they needed to go across the country and didn't have money to do it. That was Ronald Reagan. Okay. Well, some people and some pastors are one thing up in front of the pulpit, but when they get out in the out amongst the people, they're a totally different thing. Okay. So I said all that to say that my place is not only here. I live with everyone just the way you do, right? But we all have something that God has given us to give to another member. So what I have to supply came from Christ. What you have to supply came from Christ. When we minister to one another out of what Christ supplies, we're all built up and growing grace. Okay? So, I'm almost done here. Adam Clark's commentary says this. The apostle's meaning in verse 16 is this, that as the human body is formed by the union of all the members to each other under the head and by the fitness of each member for its own office and place in the body, so the church is formed by the union of its members under Christ. Now, your foot cannot do what your hand can do, which makes what it brings unique. Each one of you are unique, for you are his members of his body and members in particular, Paul says. Okay, so each one of us brings something different to the body, brings what is necessary to the body. So don't ever feel like you are not necessary. Amen. All right. So the church is formed by the union of its members under Christ, the head. Further, as the human body increases until it arrives at maturity, by the energy of every part in performing its proper function, and by the sympathy of every part with the whole, so the body or church of Christ grows to maturity by proper exercise of the gifts and graces of individuals for the benefit of the whole. So when we come to church, we are not coming just for us. I got some amens from over here. I'm going to say it again. When I said when we come to church, we are not coming just for us. Do we understand that? Do we live that? Do we realize that? I'm serious. I had years ago, now she's married. I was a youth leader without being a youth leader in the church years ago. And I had a young lady come up to me and she says, It was insightful. Yeah, she was young in the Lord and quite immature, but yet she said something very insightful. She says, "You weren't in church the other day, and it really messed me up. I really look for you when I come to church." I was like, whoa. I was like 19, 20 years old. I was like, whoa, for real? Because what it said was that I was bringing something that she needed in Christ, right? And so she's, you know, grown, matured, married, got a family and everything. But There was something that Christ had, and that's when I first started to realize that each member of the body is unique, and every member comes with something that the other members need. So then this, I can't share what God has fitted you to share as a member of the body. It's important that every member is valued and is allowed to share in the body of Christ so that the body can receive edification. Okay? The Warren Wiersbe Bible Exposition says this, and I close with this. Love is the circulatory system of the body. I like that. Love is the circulatory system. The circulatory system, am I right, Sugar? You learned about the systems, right? It goes all over the body, right? The circulatory system. Love is the circulatory system of the body. It has to touch every part of the body, right? It has been discovered that isolated, unloved babies do not grow properly and are especially susceptible to disease, while babies who are loved and handled grow normally and are stronger. So it is with the children of God. An isolated Christian cannot minister to others, nor can others minister to him. And it is impossible for the gifts to be ministered either way. And I love this insight. So then, spiritual unity is not something we manufacture. Because, see, he's getting right into God first. See, God did this. Spiritual unity is not something we manufacture. It is something we already have in Christ. When you think about it, it is in tearing apart the body that man often manifests his own work. God has designed it that the body be connected. And thus, when we see a body with all the parts connected, we smile and say, yes, that's beautiful. But when a child comes out with the foot over here and the arm coming out the chest here, we said, no, there's a problem there, right? Why? Because it's not the way God made it. So then spiritual unity is not something we manufacture. It is something we already have in Christ, and we must protect and maintain it. We must protect and maintain it. I had one time a woman in the church come, got very upset with me about something, and said, can I have a meeting with you and your wife? I said, sure, yeah, come on over to the house. Because my idea is I want to maintain the unity that we have. And so my wife sitting there, and sister looked at me and ripped me from one side to, I mean, she tore a hole in me, something. Whoop, just went out, turned over my wife. Hi, how you doing? Yeah, nice day. They turned back to me. And I'm like, well, sister, I'm sorry. I had no idea. You know, blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to maintain unity. And she turned on my wife again. Lovely day we're having. Yes, turn around. I'm looking at this. I'm going, Jesus? Jesus? This is your body. Help us. Help us to maintain unity. Because I can tell you what. You don't want your arm ripped off of your body. You don't want it. All right, so we must protect and maintain spiritual unity in the body. Truth unites, but lies divide. Because remember, he's referring to speaking the truth in love. So truth unites, but lies divide. Love unites, but selfishness divides. Therefore, speaking the truth in love, let us equip one another and edify one another, that all of us may grow up to be more like Christ. Lord, help us to speak the truth in love, that your body, the church, may be edified and strengthened for your glory in all the earth. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for divine truth, O God, that as your word is spoken and proclaimed over our lives, that the word is active. active. It's alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's in us working and cutting and dividing between joint and marrow and soul. Lord, I thank you, O God, that this word that has been spoken is actively at work in us, producing that which is good and pleasurable to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let, O God, your word have free course. Let it run very swiftly and accomplish that which you please and prosper in the thing whereto you sent it. All this week, Lord, we pray in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.